just had a minor hiccup. Let me welcome everyone who is present in the meeting today and extend the apology for the technical challenge. I must say also, unfortunately, as we meet today, we meet under a sad moment when we woke up with the news that we have lost one of the members of parliament from the ANC in KwaZulu-Natal, who was part of the hybrid NA sitting of yesterday. And whatever happened during the course of the night, no one knows at this stage, but we woke up on the news that Honorable Dora Dlamini is no more. I think on behalf of the committee, we extend our condolences to his family and his organization at this challenging time, and hope that they find solace on the fact that she has worked for the people of South Africa up until to her last day. Even on the last day, she died. She passed on performing the duties that South Africa had bestowed on him, on her, with all the confidence they had. Having said so, honorable members, I'm trying to check. The last time I checked, you know what happened? When Honorable Mailam came in, I was kicked out. I don't know how did it happen. But it happened that as soon as he came in, I was kicked out. And now I can see that there are even other new faces, Honorable Tenjan and others. Those are people who never come earlier than me in a meeting. Having said so, honorable members, I saw that we have honorable Phillips is in. I saw honorable Vulmarans. Honorable Nxumalo is in. I think Nongoma today is operational. And then I saw Honorable Mahlaule is in, Honorable Malinga, Sis Valencia is in, Honorable Mailam is in, Honorable Mtenjane is in, which means we make a quorum. Is there a member I've not mentioned who's here? Okay. I saw that Honorable Bilankulu was in at some point and then was kicked out again. I hope he's going to be able to rejoin us. Honorable members, today we are dealing with the outstanding work that leads to the international agreements that require the approval of the committee. It's an outstanding work from the Fifth Parliament. We requested the department to go back to fine-tune certain aspects, and we have included, obviously, their initial presentation as well as the minutes of that meeting, and including the presentation that they will be making today. But before I go there, are there any apologies?
Yes, Chair, I've got apology from Ms. Hlonyane. She just sent me an SMS, she's in hospital, and I've got an apology from the minister. He's attending a cabinet according to the PLO. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you very much. I used to say this is one committee that is very rich. It has two presidents, but I don't know what happened to them. Honorable Zungula and Honorable Nyonzo, although he's an alternate. I don't know what happened when we started the virtual meetings. I hope somebody will assist them. Honorable members, on that note, can I give the department to make their presentation? because you are rehashing DJ Welcome and your team, you are rehashing. I will allow you to go up to 10-2. You can't go beyond that. 10-2 is too much, but we'll give you up to 10-1. You can start now.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair. Good afternoon to Honorable Members, DMRE team in attendance, and also the support staff from the PPC and also a ministry. Thanks, Chair. We are here to present today on the agreement between the Republic of South Africa and the European Atomic Energy Community for cooperation in the peaceful uses of nuclear energy. Chair, before we can get into the presentation, I just want to highlight a few issues for the purpose of this presentation. That we distributed the presentation earlier on, and so some of the information was not even relevant for the purpose of this meeting. As you have issued a ruling previously, that if we have submitted something and we then decided to change on a later stage, and so we need to make that reference when we start with our presentation, because the information that was provided was not really relevant for the purpose of the presentation, because we are dealing with Euratom and not anything else. The other point, Chair, that I also want to highlight, and honorable members, is the fact that yes, indeed, in terms of what we are requesting from the PPCs and approval. But we believe that there are a few issues that we still need to consider based on the latest developments that are taking place within our space. We would not necessarily be wishing that maybe an approval can be given, but as per your invitation, we didn't want to request a further extension by a letter, but we felt that it will be appropriate for us to appear before the committee and also to put our case to the PPC that we would actually appreciate if we can be afforded with an opportunity to relook at some of the matters pertaining to this agreement. Now, in attendance, Chair, we have the head, which is the DDG, responsible for nuclear, Mr. Mbambo. He will be taking us through the presentation, supported by the team at DMRE. Thank you very much, Chair. I would now like to hand over to Mr. Mbambo to take us through the presentation. Over to you, sir.
Good afternoon, honorable members, the chairperson, and the DG, and the colleagues. Thank you for the opportunity to make this presentation. I would like to start with the content of the presentation. We'll deal with the purpose, the background, deal with the strategic importance of the agreement, the implementation plan, the non-compliance with the agreement, and the recommendations. As I'm now on slide 3, which deals with the purpose. So the purpose, as the DG has indicated, is to recommend that Parliament approves the agreement between the European Atomic Energy Community and the government of the Republic of South Africa for cooperation in the peaceful uses of nuclear energy in terms of Section 231, subsection 2 of the Constitution. On slide number 4, we deal briefly with the background to the agreement, where we are informing the committee that this agreement was signed in 2013. We've attached the agreement as Annexure A of our submission. On the 5th of December 2018, Cabinet approved that the agreement between the European Atomic Energy Community and the government of the Republic of South Africa for the cooperation in the peaceful uses of nuclear energy for tabling in Parliament in terms of Section 231, subsection 2 of the Constitution. We are highlighting there that the community consists of 27 member states. We've made an attachment for the committee to get an appreciation of the number of these countries that are members of the Euratom. In the main, the Euratom agreement then aims to pursue the nuclear research and training activities while improving on nuclear safety. The Euratom aims to foster the scientific cooperation between the community and South Africa, in particular to facilitate the participation of South African research entities in the research entities within the Euratom, as well as the entities in the Euratom to participate with South African entities in the South African country on research and development on nuclear matters. In terms of the strategic importance of the Euratom agreement, I'm now on slide number 5. The main purpose of the cooperation agreement is to further expand and deepen the mutual beneficial economic, scientific, and technical cooperation. And these may include research and development in the field of nuclear, use of nuclear materials and technologies such as applications in health and agriculture, transfer of nuclear materials and equipment, nuclear safeguards, nuclear safety, radioactive waste and spent fuel management, decommissioning, radiation protection, including emergency preparedness and response. On slide number 6, we continue with the cooperation. The mechanisms by which the cooperation can take place would be in the following manner. It may be in the supply of nuclear material and non-nuclear materials, equipment and related technologies, provision of nuclear fuel services, establishment of working groups if necessary to implement specific studies and projects in the area of scientific research and technological development, the exchange of experts, scientific and technological information, organization of scientific seminars and conferences, training of administrative, scientific and technical personnel, consultations on research and technological issues and performing joint research under agreed programs, cooperation activities in promoting nuclear safety and other forms of cooperation as may be determined by the parties in writing. I'm on slide number 7, continuing with the strategic importance of the agreement. The agreement is a tool that will be used to create the foundation for the cooperation between South Africa and Euratom in the field of nuclear energy for peaceful purposes. On slide number 8, the agreements include countries with advanced nuclear programs and knowledge and expertise in the management of radioactive waste. And we may add that it involves countries that are participating or have a full developed nuclear fuel value chain for peaceful purposes. South Africa, in our view, will gain lessons learned and expertise from these countries. The example of countries that are in the Euratom, some of them is France, Belgium, and these countries have structures such as a fund to deal with management of radioactive waste. And in South Africa, we are currently developing the legislation for the creation of the fund bill. The other important country we're seeing is Finland. Finland is busy with the construction for a disposal site for spent fuel. And in South Africa, the radioactive waste disposal site is currently licensed for low and intermediate level waste. And we believe that through the cooperation with Euratom, we can benefit from experiences of the countries that have done this work, like Finland. I'm on slide number 7. which deals now with the consultations that we've undertook in the manner in which we have processed the agreement. We've consulted the South African Nuclear Energy Corporation, which is NECSA, as the main entity responsible for research and development on nuclear energy and radiation matters. We've consulted government departments, which include DPE, former DST, which is now DSI, the National Treasury, the former DMR, which is now part of the DMRE, the state law advisors of the Department of Justice and the Constitutional Development, state law advisor of the Department of International Relations and Cooperation, international law, the International Cooperation, Trade and Security Cluster of Cabinet, as well as Cabinet. In terms of the implementation plan, I'm now on slide number 10. The implementation and instrument of ratification will be deposited with the depository with the assistance of the Department of International Relations and Cooperation. The Euratom internal procedures are completed and they are ready to begin the negotiations on the administrative arrangements once South Africa has also completed our internal procedures to make the agreement to become force and binding to South Africa. Then I'm on slide number 7. Honorable members, that deals with non-compliance with the Euratom agreement. If either party or any member state of the community violates any of the material provisions of the agreement, the other party may, on giving written notice to that effect, suspend or terminate in the whole or in part cooperation under this agreement. Before either party takes action to that effect, the parties shall consult with a view to reaching a decision on whether corrective measures are needed, and if so, the corrective measures to be undertaken and the time scale within which measures shall be taken. Such action shall be taken only if there has been a failure to take decided measures within the time decided by the parties, or in the event of failure to find a solution after lapse of a period of time defined by the parties. Termination of this agreement shall not affect the implementation of any arrangements and or contracts made during the period of its validity, but still not completed by the date of its termination, unless otherwise agreed upon by the parties. I'm now on slide number 12, honorable members, which is a recommendation. It is recommended that Parliament approves the agreement between the European Atomic Energy Community and the Government of the Republic of South Africa for cooperation in peaceful uses of nuclear energy in terms of Section 231, subsection 2 of the Constitution. I would like to thank you, honorable members. That's the end of the presentation. Thank you, DG.
Thank you very much, Deputy Director General. Chair, as I have explained on my opening remarks, we are bringing this to your attention to take note of the work that we have done to date, and also to afford us with an opportunity to finally bring the final document to the PPC on mineral resources and energy. And so that is what I think I just wanted to re-emphasize, Chair. Thank you very much, Chair and honorable members.
Salih, I was still waiting that you can lift off the presentation. Honorable members, there is a presentation. Like I said initially, This is just a rehash of what was presented in the committee. We've given you the minutes for reference purposes. But DG, I wanted to check before honorable members come in that you are also making a suggestion, because as I said, just also for the benefit of members, that this is the agreements that were sent to the committee coming from the fifth parliament, then resuscitated through the processes of parliament, and therefore find expression to the sixth parliament that we have to attend to as this sixth parliament and as this reconstituted portfolio committees. In the fifth parliament, this would have been in the PPC for energy. Now these days, now we've got a new department, which is mineral resources and energy. Hence, this is in front of us today to deal with. We had to give an opportunity to the department before we go ahead, approve or disapprove, whatever we do, to then come in here, what is their take on the agreement. And in terms of the process, it has been processed through by information. It has been approved by cabinet. Hence, it was forwarded to the speaker, and the speaker has forwarded that to the relevant committee, which is us. And the DG has made, in the recommendation of approval, he has also, if I get it correctly, made a supplementary request also on how they would want to appeal to the committee. So I wanted to get from him, but probably will come later. Honorable members, without any further ado, I might go to it according to the normal way. Honorable Masraule, and then will be followed by Honorable Mailam, and then will be followed by Honorable Mtenjane, and then will be followed by Honorable Malinga, and then will be followed by Honorable Numalo, and then will be followed by Honorable, except if there is no one, is there anyone that I did not make? Is Honorable Bilangudu in? If he's not in, he will be followed. Honorable Numalo will be followed by Honorable Phillips, and then will be followed by Honorable Volmarans. I don't want to give you limited time, but I know you are very good, responsible, not just ladies and gentlemen, honored, honorable members. You won't exceed at least more than 5 minutes. Thank you very much. You can start, Honorable Mashaudi. I'm generous with time today because we are few also.
No, Chair, before Honorable Mashaudi starts.
Oh, you are present?
Yes.
Okay, you'll come after Honorable Numan. Okay. So it means we'll be number 6, then Honorable Phillips will be number 7, then Honorable Fulmarans will be number 8. Okay.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I'm particularly happy with the preamble that we were given by the DG, that as much as they are bringing this agreement for our approval, they may need some of the space and time to go and look at whether the time the agreement was approved by cabinet, and now circumstances have not changed, and therefore look at it in a better lens. I would want to welcome that and say, let's allow them to do that, because had it been that they have not requested that, Chair, I was also going to request you, Chair, that the committee itself be given some time to legally look at this document, because in the first presentation, we, if you remember, the minutes will tell you that we said they must go back and come back now because there was no addendum then. Now they've attached an addendum we have read, and upon reading, there are things that I think needs some legal minds to assist us, because remember, we'll be approving a bill that will define how our country operates within the nuclear space. And therefore, I think that as a responsible committee, we also need, it will be an opportunity to get some space to get a feel of a legal mind, whether we'll be approving a sound agreement between countries, because agreements between countries are a bit complex if you rush into agreeing things that you don't understand, especially nuclear. So I'm particularly happy with that suggestion, and I think we should be able to pursue members of the committee to say, let us be given space as well to look at it in that way, Chair. I've read the addendum, I've read the presentation. So far, with what the DG has said, I'm very comfortable. Thank you very much.
Baba Melam.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, let me echo what Honourable Mafaule has said about receiving the annexures this time. I think that's a step forward. Just one query, and that is, in the actual agreement, it talks about the equipment that could be transferred, and it refers specifically to the International Atomic Energy Association Circular 254, Revision 10, Part 1. And that's an extensive document, that particular circular. Now, I'm curious to know why the department did not see fit to include that, which is an integral part of this agreement, in the annexures that they provided us. I do note that the department consulted with various entities, including the state law advisor, but I'm also curious to know why there were no consultations with civil society and non-governmental organizations, because one of the things in particular around nuclear that we need to get our heads around is whether or not it is desirable to enter into such an agreement. It's not just about the technicalities and things like that. It's also about the desirability, whether we want this. And so I would have thought that it would make sense to get people on board and to say, this is what we're doing, this is why we're doing it, and this is how we're doing it. So I'd be very interested to find out that information. My last comment, Chairperson, or comment slash question, is that we can approve this here, but I just need clarity from you and possibly the committee section as to what the next steps are. If I understand correctly, we would need to table this in the House. Is that correct? Thank you, Chair.
Okay. Honourable Tenzin.
Yes, well, good morning, Chairperson, and also welcoming the presentation. My two colleagues has already said it mouthful that indeed this committee need to, of course, give the department a chance on the way forward about this issue of the agreement. Well, for us, it's just, as a committee, for us, it's just to advise or to put an input into the department that they just need to be careful, especially when signing deals with countries that are former colonies. Countries such as France, because it's also involved here. Countries such as France, it's a country that we all know that it was a mastermind in colonizing Africa. So we must be just careful not to end up signing issues that will again colonize us, but now in the modern way. So yes, we would like to give the department a chance, as my two colleagues have said already. I agree with them. And also, lastly, Chairperson, we need to encourage deals, international deals, that will come back with the benefit for the country, that indeed will our people also benefit. Because remember, when the country benefits, that means automatically our people will benefit on that. So we encourage to the department to do such deals, and knowing exactly what will be the outcome of those deals, that we need to benefit and our people need to benefit as a country. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay. Honorable Malin.
Thank you, Chairperson. Greetings to yourself and the department, and the colleagues and the support staff. Let me welcome the presentation from the department chair. Like Honorable Mataule has alluded, Chair, I think it's only fair for us as the committee to give the department the time that they are requesting to go and tie up some loose ends on the agreement that they are bringing before us. Chairperson, I hope in that tying those loose ends, they are also going to bring forth to the committee how soon are they going to process the fund bill, because it's very important. Also, Chair, how is this agreement going to assist the security of energy in the country? Thank you very much.
Okay. Honorable Babu Uzwit.
Thank you very much, Chair, and honorable members, DG, and your colleagues. Let me also, Chair, welcome the presentation from the department and commend them for coming with a proper presentation with attachments this time, other than the previous time when they presented the same addendum, when they presented the previous presentation. And I also, I think my colleagues, because it was mainly, I think, from the last portfolio committee where we had a discussion on the on this item, Honorable Chair, was that we would want them to come back and actually give us more insight as to the developments of this, of which I think the department has done that. So mainly one is quite happy and covered. And we just hope that this will actually benefit the rest of the country as indicated in the agreement, Chair. Thank you very much.
Okay. Honorable Kula. What happened, Honorable Kula? Okay, what's still thinking? Honorable Phillips.
Oh, no thanks. How's the thing of the department?
Eh? Oh, sorry, Honorable. I couldn't find you, Honorable Kula. You can hit.
No, I'm okay, Chenang. I was saying, taking from what the DG has said, and Honorable Mahlaule, and also looking at the extensive consultation that has been done by the department in terms of this Eurotom agreement, also the question of the strategic importance and how the agreement deals with non-compliance, I don't see issues with us moving forward with this agreement and tabling it in the House. But I think it's important, Chair, to say to deal with another issue, that in terms of the new IRP 2019, we are going ahead with, we have agreed on 2,500 megawatt of nuclear through those two small nuclear reactors. So I'm saying the issue of desirability of nuclear as part of our energy mix can never be raised as a consistent question in this portfolio committee, because it doesn't hold water. In terms of the IRP, we agree that nuclear will be part of the energy mix of the country going forward. So this plan, to me, complies with all the requirements for us to be able to table it in the House. I think, like I've said, on the issue of consultation, the department has consulted extensively. We do not have issues from where I stand with the agreement being presented to the House. I think it addresses all the concerns that we might have, including concern around the desirability of nuclear. I think those concerns are addressed, Chair. Thank you very much.
Honorable Phillips.
Thank you very much, Chair. I will defer all of these comments to my colleague who has already made his input. I'd just also like to add, though, if it's possible that we get these submissions earlier rather than later, and that changes are not made at the last minute like happened with this presentation. We'd really appreciate that. Thank you so much.
Okay, Honorable Volmarans.
Chairperson, let me also welcome the presentation and also note that from the previous presentations that we had, which was not annexed, we've got a couple of annexures, which gives us more detail into what the intention of the agreement should be. So from the department's own admission, that apart from including the annexures, they also needs still some time to look at it, given the new environment that we find ourselves in. That is also welcome. However, I had a chance of reading into a number of the annexures, and I want to admit that it is not a gloomy picture that is painted there. There's a lot of positives that I could see emanating from such an agreement, including what we have discussed when we were talking about radio isotopes, when we were dealing with the likes of Pelchem and so on, where the exchange of information, exchange of research, there's 2-3 universities that have been named from our side, which could benefit from such agreement. However, there are a lot of other salient features, e.g. The protection of the agreements that are in the European Union, which cannot also find expression in on our side, where we've got protection of movement of our material within our continent. So as much as it has got a lot of positives, it also have got a lot of issues that we have to look at. And I want to take this document and the annexures as a work in progress, as from where we were in February. And I agree with the sentiments registered by my colleagues that we give the department chance to look into some of the issues that have been raised and also come up with a time frame on when we can deliberate further on this matter. But it is a progressive document up to so far. Thanks, Chair.
Okay. DG and Honorable, nearly said Honorable Mbambo. DJ and Mr. Mbambo and your other team, can you answer? We will answer other questions that relate to the committee.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair and honorable members. I would hand over to Mr. Mbambo and the team to respond to the questions. I will come back later if there will still be some outstanding questions. DG?
Thank you very much, DG and the chairperson and the members of the committee. I will start this with a question that asks, why didn't the department include the Info Circular 254, that part revision 10, part 1? I need to first indicate that this particular circular is a circular that the department subscribed to. As a department, we are a member of the International Atomic Energy Agency, and all the standards and the circulars of the IEA become binding to South Africa once we have supported them as a member state. And so it is not a problem to attach it as an annexure. If the committee would like this to be attached, we can attach it to the agreement. We were just citing it because it's one of the references in the agreement. We couldn't bring all the references that are made in the agreement and made them an annexure to this presentation to the committee. It may make it quite voluminous because there are quite a lot of references. But the committee must be assured that all the references that have been included in the agreement, they are the integral part of the agreement, and South Africa is accepting those references as part of the agreement. And if any of the annexures are required, because I see there's quite a number of them, which are all IEA standards, which we accept as South Africa. So for the sake of making the agreement or the presentation manageable, we couldn't make all these references, the annexures. We brought in the agreement as the main document. Thanks. Then the consultation with the civil society on the processing of the agreement in whether the agreement is required or not required. I think it's very important to indicate to the honorable members that the question of whether nuclear is required or not has already been resolved in South Africa. There is a nuclear energy policy of 2008, which was approved by cabinet, which set up the government framework in terms of how government intends to proceed with the nuclear expansion. And that policy is now the country's policy that guides how nuclear will be implemented, as well as also there is an IRP 2019, which has been recently approved, and it states the government policy of how government intends to proceed with nuclear at a pace and scale that the country can afford, making sure that we implement it into small modular approach, not going through a larger fleet, to make sure that we maximize on the benefits of this technology. So the question of whether it's desirable or not desirable, that has already been settled. There is a policy, it is desirable. In terms of consultation with the civil society, that is not a matter that is done in terms of the bilateral agreement. These are bilateral agreement. They are processed between the state and the other party that is being consulted or being part of the bilateral. Our legislation does not require that bilateral agreements get subjected to civil society to make their input. It's only the legislation, the laws, the regulation, the notices that get subjected through a consultation process of the public, and you publish that for public comments. But in as far as bilateral agreements, treaties for the state, they go through the level of consultation within government and its agencies. And so that's how we are processing this, and all other agreements are processed in that manner. Then what are the next steps that was raised by Honorable Member Mylem? Yes, the next steps, we are bringing this to the portfolio committee for Parliament to approve. And once it's approved by the two houses of Parliament, there will then be a process which we've outlined in the presentation in terms of the action plan. What it will do, that it will go through the depository, will consult the Department of International Relations and Cooperation to make sure that they guide us through taking it forward until such time that we deposit an instrument of ratification with the depository. After the Parliament has approved it, then it becomes binding. That's when it will only become binding. But we see that it will only happen once we've been given an opportunity as a department to go back and look into the agreements, taking into account all the developments as the DG has requested, and the committee has supported the request that the department goes back to relook into the agreement to take all the developments into account. Then, of course, the Honorable Member Ntenjane raised a matter that we need to be careful in signing the agreements to make sure that we don't subject the country into countries that will oppress South Africa through the agreement. We agree with you, Honorable Member. We're quite careful in terms of dealing with nuclear agreement. Nuclear agreement are quite a sensitive matters, and we apply our mind and guided by our policies as a country to make sure that when we enter into the agreement, it derives the maximum benefit for the people of South Africa. In terms of the nuclear policy, South Africa wants to become self-sufficient on all the value chain aspect of the nuclear fuel cycle for peaceful purposes. And when we are engaging with any of the countries in terms of the agreement, we seek to make sure that that particular aspect is observed and is assured for South Africa when we enter into agreement. And it is indeed the approach that we are following with all of this agreement. And we certainly make sure that when this agreement is finally approved, the benefits that derive out of the agreement accrues to the people of South Africa. And it does not compromise the nuclear policy and policies of South Africa by entering into this. We're quite careful when we engage on these technical and sensitive matters that they do not inhibit South Africa from advancing its interest in terms of nuclear material and in terms of using nuclear for peaceful purposes. Thank you. Then the other honorable members have supported the request. Then the issue of the whether the agreement is in support of the IRP 2019. Yes, this agreement will assist South Africa in giving a competitive advantage in terms of achieving the objectives of the country that are stated in the IRP, because in our view, the agreement provides an opportunity for opening up markets within the Euratom or European Union, wherein South African companies, once this agreement has been signed, they can engage now with companies within the European Union in terms of dealing with the nuclear material and making sure that there's economic benefits that accrued towards South Africa as well as other companies in the space. And the Honorable Member indicated that the agreement is desirable and it satisfies all the aspects of nuclear peaceful uses, and we fully agree with that. Then in terms of making sure that the agreement also takes into account the lessons that the South Africa look forward to in terms of the fund bill, we certainly are looking quite closely into this We seek to benefit from the lessons learned from countries in the European space that have this fund bill. And in terms of the state of readiness or the plan for South Africa dealing with our own fund bill, we can report to the committee that indeed the fund bill is now being processed. It is anticipated that towards the end of this year, once all the necessary approvals have been obtained, it will then be tabled for cabinet approval to get approved by the end of the financial year so that it can then be subjected to public consultation. So there is quite extensive work that has been done by the department in processing the fund bill. And that's the status which we can report. And we take note of the benefits which the Honourable Member Volmarans have highlighted, that this agreement offers broad opportunities for benefiting South Africa in terms of how our companies benefit. For instance, the supply of nuclear medicine or radioisotope from NTP. If South Africa enters into this agreement, then it opens a potential market for the NTP to market its product in the European Union, as well as Pelchem. Indeed, Pelchem is one of the strategic companies of the state. It produces chemical products. It is the only company in the Southern Hemisphere that's got the capability to process the fluorochemicals. And we see a big opportunity opening up in the European Union if this agreement is then approved, because then Pelchem can then be able to trade with companies in that European Union through supply of chemical products. And I must add that we're very proud of Pelchem. Pelchem has recently produced the sanitizers which are required to support the country in dealing with the COVID-19 pandemic. We think this is a big opportunity to ensure that South Africa becomes self-sufficient in the production of the sanitizers as well to deal with this. So the Pelchem is quite a critical company. Then in terms of also giving the benefits to the agreement, this agreement, honorable members, allows the opportunities for the research entities in South Africa to collaborate with entities in the European Union, and in particular NECSA, which is a state entity that deals with research and development in the area of nuclear energy and radiation. So it would find opportunities to collaborate, as well as the universities collaborate on research. So those are the opportunities that the agreement provides. And I must also add to the honorable members that in terms of the Quebec nuclear power plant, Quebec nuclear power plant is supplied all its nuclear fuel coming from Europe, 50% coming from France and 50% coming from Sweden, from the companies that supply the fuel, that is Westinghouse, as well as Framatome from France. So there is quite an important element about this agreement, because if, and a whole range of services, by the way, that we, as for Quebec in particular, are offered by organizations that are based in Europe. So there's that opportunity. And in also in terms of the National Nuclear Regulator, collaborate with some of the regulators within the European Union, in particular the regulator in France, the regulator in Finland, STUK, the regulator in Poland. That's also the area where this agreement will be important, as well as the NRADI, which manages the radioactive waste for at a national basis, will benefit quite a lot in interacting with companies that are dealing with nuclear waste within the European Union. DG, I think that's all that I would cover. I hope I've covered all the questions that were raised by the committee. And I will thank you and stop here, DG.
Thank you very much. There is one question I would like to give to Lerato Makhaye, the Chief Director, to respond to the last question on the bill.
Thank you, DG. But I think Mr. Mbambo has sort of touched on it, on the process of the fund bill, where we are with it, that we have indeed been going into legislative process, that we've received the sign-off from DPNE and already consulted with the state law advisor. And now, as Mr. Mbambo has said, that we'll soon be approaching cabinet to request cabinet to publish the bill for public consultation. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much, Chief Director. Chair and honourable members, I think those were the questions that were asked by the honourable members. I would like to hand over back to you, Chair. Thanks.
DG, let me start here. Babu Mbambo, take no offence, the advocate inquiry. You know, as a lawyer, when you make a plea, I'm not saying you must not do justice, but I'm just saying, be careful when you are given an opportunity to go back and work on something. And when you come back, you have already stated your case to a point that there is no justification to say we must go back. So I was worried that Babu Mbambo is giving us very correct and very informed information. The risk, though, is that it may generate more discussions, that information, and therefore end up undermining even your request to say, can we go back? Because the next question will be, if this information is like this, why do you want to request to go back? I want to say, first, I think let me answer things that relate to the committee. But Mashaule, I think it's a matter we will take into consideration. I think it might be necessary, the fact that the executive has looked for legal opinions in terms of the state law advisor, it does not necessarily preclude the committee from also seeking. We will see. And just to say to the legal division of parliament, are there any issues legally that could be challenges if this was to be approved by parliament? But it might be better when the department has gone out to iron out certain issues. So the point that we're raising with regards to the issue of the legal opinion, I think it's a matter that we will work with the committee secretariat and see whether legal, is there anything that they have picked up that may have some technical challenges. The second part, I think the part has been raised. The second thing is that in terms of the agreements, they only require ratification by parliament. And in this case, they are taken straight to the committee and the committee has to deliberate. I understand that the committee has got two options to approve or disapprove in terms of its recommendations. The third leg is correct, Honorable Mailam. It actually requires that the committee, it must table its report to parliament, its recommendations. But in this case, what I think we'll have to check, because for me, the most serious issue is a question whether is this an extremely urgent matter? If the department then makes a request, I don't think we can compile two reports. If we grant the department that it can it go back and refine? And I will state also what I think to me are other challenges. It must then be able, when it goes back, we can only submit that report. I think at this stage, we can only write back to the speaker and say, yes, we acknowledge the reference. The committee has said we may state those two meetings that we have set. The final issue was that at the request of the department has been then granted time to go and relook and be able and come back to the committee, including some of the requests that members have asked. I think they will do, including those necessary attachments that members felt that they are needed. We think we will do that. That is the only time we can then be able to compile a report and report back to, and then say, this is what the committee is recommending to Parliament. The fact is, Babumba, we can't run away from that. I hear what you are talking about, is that any international agreement, in this case, whether it's an international trade or an international treaty agreement, if it is recommended and succeeded in its recommendation to Parliament, it is regarded as binding to the nation. That is why if you look on your international, in that agreement, it is a Republic of South Africa. It means Parliament is rectifying or approving on behalf of the nation. And that is why I was saying, don't make yourself work too difficult. When this issue comes, which is why we say go back and polish. I will not ask some of the questions I would have asked initially, except to say it will be better that some of the examples that you are giving and some of the new developments that have taken place, you must be able to, even if they don't necessarily constitute part of the agreement, you must be able to assist members. We cannot, I'll be honest, sitting here, it will be very difficult that I stand up and become a nuclear specialist. But I have to understand at least the processes and undertakings. So in my view is that in as much as the agreements, as you motivate for them, there should be some sense of relevance on the content thereof. I don't want to make examples. I'm sure you understand what I'm talking about. It then at least makes it easier, because one of the things one would argue is that if, for an example, with the examples you make about Pelican and the role of the nuclear radioactive waste and so forth, I said part of the technical challenges is that we must manage a way of dealing with things in a piecemeal fashion. If we have just adopted the APPs and other things, and without any further mentioning on how this agreement can fast track or assist and become responsible enough to advance what we want to do in relation to what we have just presented in terms of the threat plans and everything, it may create an impression that these agreements are just standing there because your very same entities that you are motivating for, they don't remind Parliament on the agency of the matter or the need for these matters to be taken cognizance thereof. In essence, it says South Africa can still operate without a recognition of what now is presented. So I'm just saying it may be good and nice that the interrelationship, even in instances like this one, does not become more mechanical because there is a process of Parliament. Absolutely, when I was listening, there has been no reference on how, because some of the entities, by the way, when they were presenting, they were presenting an impression that they are operating well, and somebody might stand up and say, so why do you need this agreement if they are operating well without any reference to a need to fast-track this matter? So please, in my view, is that when you go back, try and assist, because sometimes people, it's not that they don't understand. They may understand you, but they may be not that much clued up on the matter. Make us understand the matter. Help us so that we can be able to help you. I don't think you can sit here and say you don't like this thing, but I always tell you, DG, that sometimes ignorance is very expensive. I'm not saying members are ignorant, but when you don't know something, make us know, and you must be prepared then that you will be like someone, or we are driller, so we don't want to make you need drill. I don't know, honourable members, but I think it, what I get as a sense is that members say, look, let's grant the department, but DG, it's not a permanent stay away. You are granted to go back, relook on these matters, bring them back. For me, if I were to say, I'm not saying do it like that. Find how much even internally you can be able to, you don't have to tamper with the agreement, but you can make a very strong case on why the importance of this agreement, especially with the new developments that I don't want to go back, because I get a sense members wants to rehash some of the things to have new debates. I can allow them in their separate space to engage in those debates. But the fact is, there have been a lot of overlap now that has taken place. For instance, we've got a new board at Nexa that is looking at other matters. I'm not saying go back to them and see how they can relate to this, but I think there will be more in terms of how do you master this in order to find relevance in relation to this. Even if they don't bring it now, but it might be nice when they come to the committee, whether it was when we do the BRRR, to factor in something of this nature so that it doesn't hang and it is brought like that. It must have a sense of responsiveness to what it seeks to fast track or to facilitate. Honourable members, do we agree that we grant the department to go back and then we will monitor, but don't delay us too much, DG, if we agree, and then we will go back to the speaker and say we have given the department to relook on this matter. But I can safely say, sitting here, if you have doubts or you now chickening out or you seek to say, unfortunately, it sits with the speaker's office. If you have to go back, and I don't think the department can retreat on this matter because it's referred by cabinet, but you can look at your logistical issues. But I think the committee agrees that is there an agreement, honourable members?
Indeed, Chair.
Agreed, Chair.
Chairperson.
Yes,
Chairperson. Yeah. Yes, indeed, there is an agreement, but I've just got a small another input again, maybe for
1 minute.
Yeah. Chairperson, the committee agrees. That's correct. But while we are busy agreeing, we are having a worry here. We are having a concern here. We got a minister who's always absent. We know that he said that he's going somewhere and what. I don't know why this minister is always committed more than other ministers, because the other ministers, they go and attend their portfolio committees. Maybe it's time now for the president also to relook this thing, maybe get us a deputy minister. I think it's the time now, because we can't have
no, but can we have order?
Okay.
Can we have order, Chair? Okay.
What is the order, Babu Ukola?
No, the issue that is being raised now by Honorable Mtenjan around the minister, I don't think it suits or it's ideal, is relevant to the current issue that is being discussed. It's not relevant.
Order, Chairperson.
It's an agenda item for another topic. So it's not relevant. 10%. It's not relevant to the Euroterm agreement. Where does it fit in? The absence of the minister on the Euroterm agreement, where does it fit in? It doesn't fit in anywhere. If Honorable Chairman wants to raise an issue about the presence of the minister in the PC, he must do so.
Your order is heard. Honorable Chairman.
Order, Chairman.
You are still taking more than the time in our court.
Remember, there is out of order himself there. Since when did he become a chairperson of this committee?
Address me, because I was going to respond to what you were saying.
Yes, chairperson, okay. I'm addressing you now. I'm asking a question. since when did that other member become a chairperson?
Wait, Honorable Senjane, let's understand. A member like you do has got a right to call an order. It does not necessarily mean is raising. It is for me to respond to the order that is being raised. Now, let me raise the issue with regards to the minister. It's not for me to answer for what the on behalf of the minister. The point I would argue, I would advise is this. When the apology was made for the minister, that was the time to, because unfortunately, although rules of parliament don't allow to accept or reject an apology, but they allow that members can comment on the apology. Then the issue would have been, yes, we note the apology of the minister now, but we are worried about the level of consistency in attending in the portfolio committee meetings, in particular on matters. And the argument would have been, I'm not speaking on your behalf, the argument also could have said, with the nature of the issue that we are dealing with and its importance and its international importance, it would have been nice to have the minister. Now, let me say, noting what you say, Honorable Kula is correct. The matter doesn't fall here, but can we advise the department that matters of this nature, it would be desirable that the minister is present. But we must also acknowledge that, honorable members, Wednesdays, it's not our committee days. And I can now say, because at least we managed to secure our day is Tuesday. Unfortunately, yesterday we couldn't get a slot to deal with the matter of this nature because we not almost all committee meetings are run through virtual platform. And therefore, we couldn't get a slot because there was a house sitting at 2 yesterday. Wednesdays are cabinet days. It doesn't mean we knew that the minister was going to be in cabinet. But like Honorable Kula, I'm just trying to assist members. I'm sure the department have heard that in some of the issues, it would be nice to have them. I don't want us to argue that matter now. We can deal with members, can have a right also when we deal with the minutes in the next meeting to raise the issue under matters arising, and then we can deal with the issue there. Now, having said so, honorable members, DG, any last points?
Sorry, Chair.
On this, honorable Mylan.
Sorry, Chair, just before we go off this, I just want to get clarity. So what are we agreeing to here, that this matter be referred to Parliament for approval?
No.
Okay, so what are we...
What did DG said? He said they also want to satisfy because of some new developments that have taken place. Can the committee give them an opportunity to go back and relook the entire process and come back to the committee? Then we said there are issues that were raised by members from where we stand as a committee. We were also saying we granted them, but not a permanent stay. But we are saying they must go and relook, come back to the committee. But they must make not the agreement. They must make now their motivation more relevant on the new developments and in relation to some of the areas, including the entities of the department. Thirdly, we say from where we sit, we'll take the point of Honorable Mashaule. We will also seek legally, not politically, legal. Are there any areas that are of concern from the parliamentary legal services? Fourthly, we will look at, together with the staff, whether the next step could be, in the meantime, report not to Parliament, to the Speaker, on the progress made so far by the committee, starting from the meeting of February and the meeting that we're having today, and the fact that we have referred now this matter for the department to do more thorough work and come back to the committee. It's just a report on progress. Then when they come back, it will be at that point where we'll have the crunch time to take a decision, do we recommend or we don't recommend? And what are the reasons do we recommend, and what could be the reasons if we say we don't recommend? It then goes to Parliament.
Thank you, Chairperson. I appreciate that.
Okay. Thank you. Honourable members, I think we are done with this. Can we now, DG? I nearly closed. You were closed. You will be outside.
And also the department, we would like to thank you very much as the chairperson and also the honorable members of the PPC with your constructive inputs that you have made. We have taken note of the time that you have just actually given to us, that it is not a permanent stay away. And so we'll go back and rework in terms of the issues that have been raised, and also as we are dealing with other matters, we will definitely make sure that we come back within the appropriate time frame. Thank you very much, Chair.
Okay, thank you, DG. Honorable members, now we are going to the other item. The minutes. There is the minutes of June 2nd. And now I got my pages. I don't have the pages yet. Any move of the minutes or any corrections in the minutes?
Yes, Chair. I've raised my hand.
All have got. Yes, of my sound.
No, Chair. I have issues on number 3, which are discussions, bullet point 5, 9, and 14. Now, the bullet point 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, since we don't have pages, reads as follows. The department assured the committee that has occurred. Now, the committee can't occur. We have not occurred. There's something wrong with that sentence. The department assured the committee that has occurred and that the relevant officials will take responsibility and be held accountable. It's not correct. The department further stated that and assured, in short, the committee law enforcement will there's something wrong with that sentence, which I don't think should be submitted in that manner. Now, bullet point 9, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 says the department pointed out that the sum of the training undertaken has not been accredited. There's something wrong with that. Let's go to 14. 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14. It reads, regarding the solar water heaters installed in the first phase of the program, the majority of the units are reported to be dysfunctional. The department had to make a decision on whether to repair or replace the geysers. Now, the Central Energy Fund was appointed to do a close-up report on this project. Now, it says the outcomes were that the repair and replace, is equivalent to buying a new solar water geyser. The operative word there being and, in between repair and replace. It goes on to say thus, it did not make business sense to repair and replace. It can't be both. Chair, if you were undertaking an audit, that is it better to repair or replace? You can't then say as a conclusion, you can't repair and replace, because it doesn't make business sense. What is going to happen to the solar water heater geysers that are already up in people's houses? You are not going to repair them, and you are not going to replace them. It doesn't make sense, and that's not our agreement here. One has to be done. You can't leave the solar heater geysers on top of the roof and nothing that must happen there. I just wanted to correct that, Chair.
I'm also tempted on something. I'm still hurt. Any other take, honorable members? In the absence, Ari and Boss.
Yes, Chair.
Where are the, I'm trying, mine is not like you, I tried even to go beyond. Where are the recommendations of the committee?
Which one, sir? On the presentation?
Yes. I'm using the phone this side. Can you then go back to the first one that Honorable Mashaula was raising? The first bullet that was raising. And I will remind you what was said. Yes. That part, Honorable Mashaula, you are correct. It is about the department's assurance that what had occurred, it was gonna be dealt with, and the relevant officials that were will be held accountable I may not get it, but the simplest thing was that the assurance of the department was that it was going to ensure that with what had occurred, which was the whole debacle on the issue of the solar water heaters, were going to be held accountable. And secondly, the report was about the department's commitment to approach law enforcement agencies where there would have been issues of illegality or that borders on criminal offense. That is my understanding. So I think we can just say we will have to redraft that part, because it was about accountability on those who were responsible in the main at an operational level for the implementation of this. Do we agree? Then we can go. Can we reformulate that one? If members agree, can you reformulate that one?
I'm happy, Chair.
Yes, because it came from the point that what has the department, or what is the department doing? And that was the assurance. Shouldn't we have it as simple, honorable members, to say that the department assured that those relevant officials who were responsible for the failure for proper implementation of the solar heater project were going to be held responsible and accountable, and if it needs be, some of those and also law enforcement, the department will approach law enforcement agencies. It becomes just one sentence. You can't separate. It must do both. It must hold them accountable and take the decisive action, and also approach law enforcement agencies where there are matters that might be bothering on criminal activity. That's all. Or unlawful activities. People don't want to use that word. Will we be correct?
Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
Can we try? The department assured the committee of what had occurred and that the relevant officials will be held accountable, because you can't, as an official, up to this far, we don't know what responsibility they are taking. We can't say officials will take responsibility. Let's rather say the relevant officials will be held accountable and that law enforcement agencies will be approached if need be.
Then, all what I'm saying, that part, so we must say the department assured the committee to act, that it will act on what has occurred, and the relevant officials will be held accountable, and law enforcement agencies will be approached when it arises.
That's fine, Chair.
Yeah, it was the point is that the department must show good cause that it is acting on the matter. Okay, can we go to the next one?
Chairperson?
Mamali?
I thought the ones that were posted, it's what Map Boss was reminding us about the Eurotom. I think they are from the 19th, if I'm correct, or I don't see correct.
I don't get you.
Well, I thought you were saying we should go to the next set of minutes that were posted to us.
Yes.
I was just citing that these were, it was the reminder of the meeting that we had.
No. We're dealing with the minutes of the 2nd June. The ones that are dealing with the presentation on solar water heater project.
Oh, okay, Chair.
The ones that are on the screen now. The ones that are on the screen now.
Oh, all right. Sure, Chair.
What was your concern there, Honorable Mashaule?
Chair.
I pointed out that some of the training undertaken has been.
Just a minute, Chair. I had closed that page.
It's on the screen.
It has been. Chair, the department pointed out that the sum.
Oh, sum.
The sum of the training undertaken has not been accredited. If we are talking sum in terms of numbers, that is not the correct spelling of sum, if I'm not mistaken. Because if you say that the sum and you put this sum, you are really completely destroying the sentence.
Okay, now I agree with you. I didn't see the. I sometimes read with information in mind. But I also think that the has in English is not correct. It's supposed undertaken have not been or were not accredited, either of the two.
It's correct now, Chair.
No, we must change has to have.
Is it?
Or you want to say we're not accredited? Yes, it's okay. Good.
Has not been accredited.
No.
Yes.
Wasn't it a past tense?
Yes, has the past tense, Chair.
Okay, let's leave English, otherwise we'll...
Yeah, English is not...
I've got no intention to invite the teacher who taught me English to come help me here now. Let's go to the next one.
Chair, I do see that the sum that I was talking about is still there, so I'm not sure whether it was referring to a number of trainees or what, but it can't be left like that.
I thought to me when we're saying some in the manner that it was some not in a specific number, but some yes. as an average.
Yes.
Common language, I won't tell you where it says some amongst us. That's the sum I thought they were is saying.
Okay. With the removal of the, it makes sense.
Yes. Okay, let's go to recutting.
There's a black line, we can't see everything.
Harry, don't block us, we want to see your wrong English.
I'm sorry, sir. Is it better now?
Yes.
All right.
I think Honorable Mahlaule is correct on one on the issue of the dysfunctional ones. My understanding was that the issue of repair can't go with replace. Except you can explain even to me. Why do you repair something? You can't repair something that you are going to replace.
I think, Chairperson, when the chief director was explaining this, it was a matter of saying repairing instead of replacing the dysfunctional geysers was a fruitless expenditure because it they end the same equal amount. I think that's how I captured. So I think it's supposed to be replaced, not repair. Or repair.
No, it's true to take out the repair to take out the replace if you are gonna use buying. Yes, it's correct, but it must be it must say the outcomes were that the repairs were equivalent to buying
yeah.
a new solar water geysers. That's all. Yes.
Yeah, the way in which it's indicated that there will be a replacement of and replace in red indicated is correct. There's some noise that is disturbing me.
Somebody's opening the mic. Maybe it's Ari. So what do you say?
I was saying the before I added what is added now, the removal of and replace as it was in red, meaning the outcomes were that the repairs were equivalent or is equivalent to buying, it should be were equivalent to buying a new solar water geyser. That's correct. And it continues, it should continue to say, thus, it did not make sense, or it did not make business sense to repair. Full stop.
Okay.
Because if you repeat again at the end, it did not make business sense to repair and replace. You are still bringing replace as part of what does not make sense. And we are saying replacing, because when you buy new ones, you replace. It makes sense. That's correct. That's correct at the end.
Okay. Any other matter, honorable members, on the minute? Ari, yes.
I'm listening.
I wanted you to go there. Why are you taking away? You are correct with the treasurer. You left one thing. You said the department must go on the same thing that we're correcting the first.
Where are we now, Chair? With the resolution?
On the resolution.
All right.
The first, I'm saying not the first, as in the first point that Honorable Mahlaule on the correction took us to is not there as a resolution.
Okay.
Because we said the department must come back and report on the actions taken. It's either it must form part of the with regards to those who were responsible for the I don't know what do we call this thing. Can help me. For the failure of the proper implementation of the project. Yes. Honorable members, do we accept the corrections and the minutes now?
Yes, Chair.
Any mover with the corrections or amendments made?
I move to accept them, Chair.
Oh, is that Honorable Phillips? Thank you. Any seconder?
Seconded, Chair.
Okay. Honorable members, we are done for the day. You are very efficient with time. DG, please honor your request. This committee generously granted you. Make it a point that you don't come here because you are called. Find a way to come back and give us a feedback. To the committee, I hope Arik, on behalf of the committee, you will send our well wishes, although we don't know for how long, we just as we have received the report that Honorable Stronyane has been hospitalized. Please, on behalf of this committee, let's extend our well wishes and hope that she will speedily recover. And be able to join us on the task at hand as we are faced with a lot of work that we need to do. And thank you very much, honorable members, for the work so far. We have kept you in most meetings until to the last minute of the committee. You have done well today. Thank you very much. The meeting stands adjourned.
Thanks, Chair.
Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Good night.